Hello and welcome to Regular Features, the podcast that is the same every single bloody old week. This week, like every week, I'm floating alone in a cigar-shaped isolation pod floating down the Niagara River. I have been placed here by my two best friends to teach me a lesson. This is my punishment, because this week, like every week, the sound file containing my voice was hexed into audio smithereens after it bounced off an internet witch. I wasn't aware of the problems with my sound file until yesterday, some days after we recorded the podcast. Steve initiated a WhatsApp and asked me,
"Where's the file?"
he said.
"I uploaded it,"
I replied, trying to reproduce his tone to show that I was the beater and no immediate threat.
"Well, it's not there,"
he spat back, radiating masculinity and modulating his voice to baffle my conciliatory voice-matching tactics. "Give me a second to look," I replied, unable to hit his notes precisely, but doing an arpeggio to cover my bases. RF562 --log.wav. It was right there in my recent files. Hooray, right? Right? But get this. When I right-clicked to open the folder location, what happened next will shock you. I'm going to shock you now with a truth that I don't think you're ready for. I simply don't think any of you could have concluded from the context I've provided you with the truth that I shall now reveal. My big WAV was gone, obliterated by a digital witch's curse. Now, this has happened to regular features before, but never my fault, and I was shook so deep into my core that it's been affecting my dreams. You probably think people who tell you their dreams are boring, but you're wrong, because mine are fucking great. For example, I'll give you an example. I've had my hair cut recently because I thought I looked like a dickhead with long hair. That night, I had a dream. In this inverted fever realm of meta-reality, I was driving a new car. I got out of the car and someone said, "Oh, that's good. I didn't like to say anything, but everyone you know thought that other car made you look like a dickhead." I mean, what could it mean? I honestly don't think a dream could be any more scrutable. But this incident caused another dream to occur, and the night after the internet obliterated a high-quality hour of my beautiful voice, the very voice you're listening to now, I had another dream, a dream that I believe will become a benchmark into the outlandishness of the guilt-ridden subconscious and its frankly insane imagination, a testament to the intricate tortures that we will inflict upon ourselves when we feel we've let our friends down. In the dream, right, I was looking up how to recover audio files on audacityteam.org, but none of the very sensible suggestions on that page worked in my situation. And then I woke up! If you're listening, Neil Gaiman, if you are a reader and you want to know where I get my ideas, I'm happy to sit down and have a chat with you. Now, I know what you are thinking. I know you're thinking, what's all this then? Am I just going to pretend to float along the Niagara River in a cigar-shaped isolation tank, telling you about my dreams? Is this the first ever one-man regular features? Chill your beans, reader, because as it turns out, Steve and Joe's features worked perfectly well without my contributions. With a bit of deft editing from Steve, he says they're great. That's wonderful news. I mean, sometimes in this world of 8 billion people, it can feel like your disappearance wouldn't be noticed, and that feeling can be humbling, maybe a little liberating, however you want to take it. But to discover that your absence from a 3-person podcast that you were actually in makes no difference. Well, it's a good job I got a humble kink. So much so, they actually call me Engelbert Humble Kink. So that just leaves me in my steel penitence tube to top and tail the podcast, explain to you what went wrong, job done, and explain whose fault that is, internet witch, and to present Steve and Joe's features, then try to piece together my features from all the bits what I got sent. So, without further ado, I bring to you Joe's feature.
Regular features, I am 6 years old, and I want to know why my mouth always gets so wet.
Buckle up, let me explain. Walking in the city with my nice dry tongue, smacking dry lips as I walk along. I'm feeling so alive as I swallowed all my saliva. I see a hot pie, now I'm all wet again. and I don't know why. 'Cause somewhere in your mouth there is a hole that squirts out spit. You are like a snake. If snakes could have tits.
Guys, on Regular Features, the podcast, we do quite a lot of different kinds of comedy. Would you agree?
Yeah.
We do absurdist and we do scatological. And I think it's time we add a third string to our bow to fire a third arrow. Because that's what all I can assume you would add strings to your bow for, is to fire multiple arrows at once for trick shots.
I thought it was a...
Did you have something to say?
No, I just forgot what a bow was for a second. Carry on.
What do you think a bow was?
I thought it was a type of violin. It's not, though, is it?
First bow. Just a lady standing next to the violinist doing the hard work. Yeah. We don't do this very often, but I'm going to try a third comedy today. Observation.
Wow.
Because I think I've observed something that's pretty funny.
Okay.
When you look at it from the right side. And that's why I present to you a Choose Your Own Adventure called You Are the Man Who Spent a Decade Lobbying to Have USB-A Inputs Added to Plug Sockets, and You've Just Found Out About USB-C. What the fuck, you snarl, looking down at your new desktop humidifier. You've just unwrapped this new gadget because your room is so dry, and you were all ready to plug it into the wall, where you've proudly mounted your original prototype for a little USB-A socket between the two normal plug sockets. But this isn't a USB-A connector. Where are the elegant right angles? Where's the little plastic inside lip? Why is it so small? What is this? You quickly open Ask Jeeves and write, Jeeves, hello, what's a cable with a small round mouth instead of a big square mouth? Jeeves considers for a moment before saying, that's USB-C, sir. USB what? You spent a decade lobbying governments and the people at Wix to invent plug sockets with USB-A in them, and they only just listened, which is bullshit. You were dubbed a boy genius when you first started your campaign, but now you're a man genius, and no one cares about that. Man geniuses are 10 a penny. People call Alfred Tungsten, the inventor of tungsten, a man genius, and he once tried to make you a coffee at the Inventors Club and accidentally gave you a sandwich. If that's a man genius, you don't even want to be one. You go to wipe sweat from your brow, but you're not even sweating because this room is so dry and you can't plug in your humidifier to let you produce sweat because it's got this fucking weird ass plug. And you can't use this plug because you're a man genius, not a wizard. Who the fuck invented this behind your back? And, like, it's so small, so if you put it in a plug socket, it would look weird. Like they hadn't finished the plug socket or something. Oh, wait a second. USB-C? What happened to USB-B? Jeeves, hello again. Is there even a USB-B? Yes, sir. Here it is. It looks like this. What the fuck is that? No wonder they gave up on USB-B. That is disgusting. It looks like Alfred Tungsten invented it. There's only one thing for it. If they're going to invent USB-C without telling you, you're going to invent USB-D without telling them. To the invention bunker! You quickly run to a nearby bust of Guthrie Plug, your hero, and fumble two USB keys from your ass pocket. You go to stick them in his secret eye slots, but get them the wrong way up, and they won't go in for a second, so you mutter, fuck's sake, and flip them. But one of them still won't go in, which doesn't make sense, so you flip it again, and for some reason it slots in perfectly this time. It's so weird how that always happens.
Classic observational comedy. Great.
Suddenly, a chute opens up beneath you, and you're plunged into the invention bunker. You put on your moleskin gloves and get ready to invent USB-D. Do you A. decide that USB-D should be massive, like an American football? Or B. decide that USB-D should be tiny, like a Canadian football?
Can it be tiny but very, very long, like a laser disc slot?
Yeah, actually, I think it can. Well, so like wide rather than long.
Wide.
Okay. You decide that it should be massive, like an American football. Yeah, it should be way too big. That'll teach them. You pull apart a fridge and turn its gubbins into a thick oval. This looks cool, like a fridge, you chuckle to yourself. You shove a wire on the end of your invention and quickly transfer a cool picture of a Porsche Cayenne from one computer to another. You've done it! You've invented USBD!
Yes!
It's time to contact exactly one government and get them to accept USBD as the new universal standard. Let's spin the wheel of governments! Laos! No one will care if Laos uses USBD. Let's spin it again. Laos again! God, isn't it funny how whenever you spin a wheel with all the world governments on it, it always seems to be Laos? So weird.
Classic observational comedy.
I've not got any more.
USBABC, now here's USBD, that's a feature. Put it in upside down every time makes you frown, that's a feature. Now, the worst thing that thinking that I'd fucked up episode 562 that you're listening to, I hope, was that Steve's feature hinged so completely on the notion of surprise that I don't think that me and Joe could have accurately replicated the gasps of startlement and, not horror as such, certainly surprise, that Steve's feature elicited from us. If we'd re-recorded it, we would have felt like frauds. So sincere and heartfelt was our startlement. But I'm going to say no more, lest I dampen or spoil the surprises in store for you, as we now head feet first, arms first. Just put whatever you want in first, my friends. It's time for Steve's feature.
And now it's time for Steve's regular feature, Steve's Laboratory of Surprising Animals.
I'm going to leave you boys in the capable hands of my good friend who runs a laboratory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. See you guys in a bit.
Bye.
Welcome to the Laboratory of Surprising Animals. I am Dr. Sequestrian Provolone of the Laboratory of Surprising Animals Research and Development Division. I am pleased that you have shown a curiosity in our little laboratory, for it is right here that we study some of the most surprising animals of the planet Earth. Allow me to give you a tour of some of the most alarming specimens in our collection. But I must warn you, to lay eyes on these shocking organisms is to look God in the eye and see nothing reflected back at you but the glimmering void of the infinite.
Professor Provolone?
Don't ask where I'm from.
No.
It's Germany or France.
I was just going to ask, despite your Italian name, you did say they're surprising animals, but then you said they're alarming animals. Is that
surprise,
the same?
Alarm, it all exists on a spectrum.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
That was a shocking question. You're going to fit right in here at the Laboratory of Surprising Animals. Please, boys, follow me to the first surprising animal. Ah, here we are. Please, if you wouldn't mind sliding open the safety hatch and feasting your eyes on the surprising animal that lurks within.
Okay. Whoa!
It is the surprising slug. Did you get a good surprise from it? You look very startled indeed. We discovered the surprising slug in the most shocking region of the Amazon rainforest. The native tribes people there were constantly slapping their hands to their faces and making a big O shape with their mouths, like the emoji. We had to transport it back to the laboratory in a special shoebox. That is how surprising the surprising slug is. Well, if you have composed yourself, let us move on to the next specimen. Joe, If your heart rate has returned to normal, I think you might be ready to open the special safety hatch on this next surprising animal cell. Okay. But I warn you, this one is a real doozy.
Okay. All right, here I go.
It is the surprising slug again. Whoa. What a surprise. I think it was supposed to be an unanticipated vole, but it was the Amazonian surprise slug. How fascinating. This actually happens a lot more than you might think in the laboratory of surprising animals. The animals are always coming up with new and fucked up ways to surprise us, even today. Well, if you have gathered your wits, let us continue with the tour, no? Your hands seem to have stopped shaking since your encounter with the surprising slug. If you are ready, please open the safety hatch of the third cell for a peek into the habitat of what I assure you is the most surprising animal so far.
Here we go.
It was the surprising slug for a third time. How fascinating. One of you must have assumed the surprising slug would subvert the comedy rule of three and that this cell would contain some kind of a flabbergasting donkey. But no, the surprising slug has shocked us all again this day. Whew. Joe, now that you have stopped trembling in your clogs... Let us move swiftly on to the next compartment of a surprising animal, if you would do the honors.
Yeah, here we go.
Another surprising slug. This just gets more and more astonishing every time. Truly a remarkable specimen in our vast collection of varied and unpredictable animals. Our menagerie comprises beasts as diverse as the unforeseeable swan, the startling dog, and the type of fish that makes you go wow real fast. So far, you have seen but a tiny fraction of our surprising animals. If you would dare to have your mind flayed by another shocking brute, you need only slide open the safety hatch on our next surprising friend.
Here we go.
Wow, that was pretty surprising. I'm sure you would agree.
I've got to say, you don't sound that surprised this time. He just went, wow.
Look at you both now, shook to your stomachs by all you have seen today. Surely you will now be telling your friends about your alarming time here at the Laboratory of Surprising Animals and of all the important research that we do. You know, I'm sure we had ones that aren't this surprising slug around here somewhere. Joe, if you have not lost your mind, I think it is time for the last stop on our tour. Behind this safety hatch is the most surprising animal in our collection.
Yeah.
It is not the surprising slug.
Yeah.
But something 10 times more unexpected.
Okay.
It's the most alarming freak you will ever know.
Cool.
An animal so surprising, we had to keep it locked behind surprise-proof glass. One of my colleagues saw this animal, and it shocked his face off. But I think you are ready.
Okay.
You have grown resilient.
Yeah, you are prepared
to behold this animal's surprising form. Please, open the hatch.
Yeah.
Carefully.
Yeah,
fucking hate that. I hate that slug so much.
See a bug with your eyes and feel extreme surprise. That's a feature. Yes, I know that a slug isn't really a bug. It's a feature.
Now, I was waiting for one of the surprising slugs to go ugh, like off of Home Improvement, but I think Steve was wise to keep it pure. Now, I'm afraid it's time for my feature. It involved a little bit more conversation, so I've had to piece together the bits by talking into the gaps that were left by my lost file. You'll also notice that I've left a little bit of Joe laughing at my feature in there because it just made me feel less lonely, and it might convince you to laugh along at home. Anyway, I'm going to stop adding extra content now by way of apology for me fucking everything up, so just have a feature. Enjoy the feature. It's a feature time. Enjoy the...
In a smoky old pub on a cold winter's night, a man would come in seeking solace in his plight. His eyes filled with sorrow, his heart full of pain. He ordered a drink and asked for Cobby Wobbies again.
Now it's time for my regular feature. In my role as the publican of a 4.7 rated Google business and a long-standing pillar of the community, I am a part of many prestigious Nottingham functions. I chaired the committee in charge of security for the Mayor's Parade. And pretty soon after that, I was asked to set up an inquiry into security failings leading to the Mayor's assassination. And no sooner was that over than I was asked to issue a public statement that it's vulgar to start throwing blame around so soon after our beloved Mayor's inexplicable death. What I'm saying is that I am the centre of Nottingham. I keep the company of lay magistrates, architects, knicker magnates. And we like nothing more than to stand in a room, puff out our chests, and chuckle. If you see anyone with their chest puffed out, just chuckling to themselves, it's probably a mover and shaker in the Nottingham scene. But this month, as you all know from the WhatsApp, I have been offered an unprecedented honour. I have been invited to judge a dog fashion show at a local arts hub. Can you imagine this? Me, the person who cannot be happy until any dog he sees has sniffed my hand approvingly. Me, the least dignified dog validation requirer in the borough, surrounded by dogs who are desperate for me to love them. Oh, the dogs of Nottingham, this worm has turned. You are soon going to find out that two can play the lie on the floor looking sick of this shit game. The way I understand it that this dog parade thing will work is that the owner will get the dog, walk him up and down in their clothes, whatever they've got on them, and I will give the audience a short rundown on their dog's outfit. And after that, I'll have a bit of a chat with the owner, and then we'll just move on. Next one. Bam, boosh, get off the stage. It's not about you, it's about me. I just worry that I'll fluff it.
This is, hang on, let me just check. This is Maureen. She's quite clearly a big dog. And just look at all that air coming from her. What a treat. And she's got a hat on, which, quite frankly, I think that's fine. But I'm sure some people would say that dogs shouldn't be wearing hats for the amusement of humans. But I would say to them, maybe that's our fault. I doubt Maureen would have bothered putting that hat on and coming all the way into town today if it wasn't for us putting on a big fashion show with the top prize of a big bowl of golden bones. The more astute among you will have noticed that she's vaping the new Cloudberry and Cinnamon Lost Mary, which is somewhat more of a moral grey area, but I, for one, am still waiting for the medical consensus to come back on that one before I get on my high horse. And maybe, just maybe, dogs would vape less if there was something else for them to do. In my day, you'd get dogs just walking down the street and only coming home for a biscuit before getting back on their bicycles and getting killed in some machinery. Joe, you brought Maureen in today. Did you make that hat yourself?
No.
Oh, I bet there's a funny story about it, though.
Got it out of a puddle.
How delightful. What a diligent dog owner you must be, taking your dog out for a walk on a rainy day.
Nah.
It wasn't raining.
Puddle of piss.
Well, at least you were outside.
Carpet piss.
Thanks for bringing Maureen in today, Joe, but time is running short. This is John Bones Bryant. He's the host of Money and Wealth on the Dog Effect podcast network. He's a businessman and entrepreneur, and now every Thursday, his newest venture is educating you on how to win financially. Even better, he's going to teach you in a way that you can understand. He's going to meet you where you are and take you where you need to be. He knows that you might have different starting points and end goals, but as long as you have the desire to acquire financial freedom, it can be done. So join John Bones Bryant every Thursday on the Dog Effect podcast network on iHeart, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. So, Steve, when did you first realise your miniature schnauzer had such a head for business?
Well, one day I was just loading up the dishwasher and I heard him woofing at my laptop. I thought he was watching cat videos, but when I walked in, he'd set up a charitable foundation, and he was actually barking in delight at all of the tax breaks he was lined up to receive as a trustee.
And have you seen the benefit of any of this Bow Wow know-how?
Well, every 6th of April, he barks at me until I'm fully used up my ISA allowance.
How adorable. Oh, and Steve, if your dog were ever to take on a legal case, on what basis do you think he would do that?
On a pro bono basis, Log.
That's wonderful. Let's have a big round of applause for Steve Hogarty and John Bones Bryant. Oh, look what the drag cat's in. The cat is in drag in this dog suit. No, calm down, everyone. Stop being silly. It's a real dog. I'm sorry. That was partially my fault. That was a very confusing intro. I shall start again. I'll start again. This is Bessie, and she was born with two right feet, which sounds normal enough for a dog, until you see that she's also got two very wrong feet. That's right. Bessie's immaculately manicured two human feet on the front right diagonal means that she's the only dog here tonight with a WikiFeet account, where she has, since December 2022, accrued an enviable ranking of 4.8. Now, WikiFeet has a strict comments policy against describing your desires and fantasies with the pictured feet, imploring registrants to stay classy. This hasn't, however, stopped the horniest foot fanciers from trying it on with Bessie. "I want those toes at my nose while I'm doing the big shop," says Totem Pole, shortly before receiving a 3-day ban. "I want to watch her passing the time by standing on human tiptoe and rocking from dog paw to dog paw on the perpendicular diagonal," commented Yard of Foot, before receiving a permanent shadow ban for being hard to pin down. "I would not be able to deal with it if she tapped her feet impatiently while I was putting my coat on," commented Sexual Healing, which was allowed until he ruined it by replying to himself with, "I'd just come so hard from my fat cock if she did that," gaining him a lifetime ban. Bessie was brought in by an entirely different Joe.
"Oh, good evening, my darling. It's such a colossal pleasure."
"Oh, you probably get loads of people asking about your dog's feet, don't you?"
"Oh, yes. It's a terrible bore.
But tonight, I wanted to ask you about your feet."
"I'm not the one on trial here, you grabby little man."
"Would you mind just hoisting up the hem of your ball gown, Joe?"
"This goes against every international treaty I've ever signed."
"Go on, give us a squizzy, your tootsies. Don't be tight."
"Thou shalt not gaze upon my hooves, you hungry-eyed oik."
"Just a squinty little butcher's. I promise not to widen them."
"No toe-gazer, you. My feet defy you."
"It's because you swapped feet with your dog, didn't you? You got banned off WikiFeet for posting fantasies, and this is how you got around the ban, you pervert."
"Ha ha ha ha! You'll never stop me swapping my feet around with animals so I can post on WikiFeet."
Another case solved.
"Little darling, you've had your feature, now it's over. Little darling, we've had such fun, it's time to go. But here comes your mum. Here comes your mum, and she says,
titty titty bum bum, titty titty bum, titty bum bum, titty bum, titty titty bum."
Well, that's it for this week's episode of Regular Features. I hope you enjoyed it, despite my best efforts to stop it ever getting into your ears. And I hope you appreciate the great effort that Steve put into piecing together the Humpty Dumpty shards. If you did enjoy it, there's something very special you could do for us. It's, you could just guide your browser of choice to patreon.com/regularfeatures. And if you give us £2 an episode, I'll tell you what you get. You get a face hugger landed onto your bonce, and it will stick whatever they've got. Proboscis? I don't know what face huggers use. I'm not a biologist. But he will stick his, let's say, proboscis down your neck and suck out your human name. And then he will lay eggs into your guts that will one day hatch into a delightful bee name that you can use if you walk past a bee. You know, it doesn't make sense when I explain it like that. I wonder if it ever made sense. We've been doing it for years. It's people seem to like it, so I don't know what your problem is. Anyway, you get a bee name, and you get access to our Discord, where you can talk to other bees using their bee names. You see, they do have a function. I'm not going to do any bee names today because it's a collaborative process, and there is nothing sadder than one man thinking up bee names, and I believe it was Marcus Aurelius who said that. So, so it's a lot of fun. We do this for free anyway because we love it, but if you give some money, we'd love you even more. Oh my God, I'd come round your house and land myself in your lap, so I would. That's it, though. No more. Normally we all take it in turns to say I love you, but now it's just for me to say, with three times the normal sincerity, I love you. Give us a kiss. Oh, and sorry about the AI song. I'll never do that again, promise.
Look, when I edit the podcast, I put any old shit in.